In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Spouse of the Holy Spirit, Saint Joseph, Saints Philip and James, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today in the Gospel and in the readings, we see some different aspects of the Holy Spirit mentioned in the readings. In the first reading of the Acts of the Apostles, we hear how Saul had received that miraculous and extraordinary conversion. He who was persecuting the church, kind of breathing out fire, you might say, against the Christians. And then he is miraculously converted, and he tries to go to the apostles and say, you know, here I am, I'm now one of you. And they're being very suspicious, you know, rightly so. You know, they thought, maybe this is a trick. You know, here this guy is out persecuting the church, and now all of a sudden he says he's one of us. It might be like the head of ISIS today is saying that he's all of a sudden become a Catholic, and he shows up at the doorstep of the Vatican, you know, saying, oh, I want to let you know I'm one of you now. And I'm sure, you know, we'd be suspicious of him too. But Barnabas, being a good Christian, good soul that he is, knows that Saul has been converted, and he goes and he introduces him to the apostles and verifies that, yes, he is now one of the members of the church. And it says here at the end of this reading that the church now was in a certain sense at peace, because he who was one of the biggest persecutors is now become one of its members. And so the church is being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit it grew in numbers. That's one of the things that the Holy Spirit is known as, the consoler. You know, the Holy Spirit comes to give us strength, gives us consolation in the times of persecution, in times of struggle. The Holy Spirit comes along and strengthens us that we can continue on, and fills us with joy, because that's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so those of you who are preparing for confirmation, you too will be receiving an outpouring and a fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That first deposit that you received at baptism of the Holy Spirit, when God made you a member of his church, when he adopted you and made you a member of his family, you received an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity came and dwelt and dwells in your soul when you're in the state of grace. And so now with the confirmation, it's a completion of that initiation that you receive. You know, in the Eastern Rite Catholic Church, the day that you're baptized is also the day they give you already as an infant a piece of the consecrated host. You make your first Holy Communion, and they also confirm you on that same day, so that you have already at your infancy, you have all the gifts and all that God wants you to make you a full member and of the body of Christ. But here in the West, we kind of separate those out. We give confirmation later on in your development, because for whatever reasons, you know, the different rites have different approaches to these things. They want you to be more prepared to take up this great gift of confirmation, so that you can truly embrace and appreciate what you're going to receive, I think, in one sense, to understand what it is you're becoming when you become confirmed, and that is to become a soldier of Christ. It's not just that we become a child of God that is important. That's very important, for without baptism we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But with confirmation, now you're not just a member of the family, now you're supposed to be able to go out and make other members of the family. You're supposed to be able to go out and be now a soldier, one who's going to give witness to Christ in a very powerful way by witnessing to him, to your friends and neighbors, by first and foremost the good conduct of your life. That's the most important witness that you will be expected to give, is good example. And that is one of the things that today is sorely needed in our world, is to see Catholics who are actually living their faith as the Church intends and as Christ intends. We have a lot of Catholics out there who are saying they're Catholic, but their actions don't match it. And that's not what the Holy Spirit wants. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And that means he wants us to give a true example, a true witness to Christ. And also, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. And so you will be inflamed, you might say, even greater if you're open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And that means it's not going to happen automatically. If you go to confirmation and you're just as bored as can be and think that, oh, why do I have to go through this? You're not disposed properly. You're not going to receive, you'll receive the Holy Spirit, but he won't be fruitful. You put too many obstacles in his path for him to work and to operate. So it's important that when we approach confirmation, that we approach it with a proper disposition, with an openness of our hearts and minds to receive all that God wants to give to us through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the other thing we have to remove, of course, the biggest obstacle is serious sin. We want to get rid of sin, because that's the thing that really thwarts the Holy Spirit from working in our lives. Those are the obstacles that he wants to remove, because he's the Spirit also that sanctifies, makes us holy. And so one of the things the Holy Spirit's going to always do in our lives is he's going to convict us of sin, because he wants to get rid of it. Just like a doctor who goes and diagnoses a patient, he looks for the things that shouldn't be there. And he convicts us of it so that we can remove it, that we will be disposed and moved to go and receive the other sacrament of penance to be freed of that obstacle, because the Holy Spirit loves us so much that he wants to truly work in us. And so how should we be receiving the Holy Spirit? Well, we should be as open to the Holy Spirit as Our Lady was. She who was the spouse of the Holy Spirit, because she put no obstacle in God's path. It says, St. John of the Cross says that Our Lady was only moved by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? Being moved, being inspired, whatever she did, whatever thoughts that she decided to act upon were all inspired by the Holy Spirit. She wasn't moved by self-interest. She wasn't moved by self-love. She was moved by love of God. And that was what the inspiration of the Holy Spirit gave her, was that everything she did for the love of God and for the glory of God. Of course, that's a special grace that came to Our Lady by the Immaculate Conception. But each and every one of us should strive and should pray that we too will be moved by the Holy Spirit, that the only thing that we want to truly do in our lives is to please him at every moment. And that's possible by grace. It's not something that we can do by nature alone. We have to have the help of God's grace, and especially with the help of his Holy Spirit, to do it and to live that way. That's why St. Paul says, or St. John in his letter says, you know, children, let us love not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. That's what the Spirit of Holy Spirit is going to help us to do, is to live not just in word or speech, but in deed and truth. Because our creed that we profess every Sunday, if it's just words, it isn't going to be efficacious. Creeds are expressed most perfectly in deeds. And so that's why when we profess our creed every Sunday, I believe in God the Father Almighty, all those things that we profess, that's the teaching of the Church in a nutshell. In that creed that we recite every Sunday, it contains all that we believe as Catholics. If you take each one of those 12 articles of the creed and you examine them, and that's what the Catechism does for us, it shows us how everything that we believe and profess as Catholics in that creed is lived out. And it reminds us in the Catechism that everything that is revealed to us by God is to show forth his love for us and to help us to show forth our love to him. For that's why the catechism is so important. It's not just a bunch of doctrines that are on a page. They are doctrines that are to help us to know how God loves us and how he has shown his love for us and how we then can respond and show him love in like manner. And that's why he reminds us that those who keep his commandments remain in him and he in them. And the way we know that he remains in us is from the Spirit he gave us. So when our Lord says in the gospel that I am the vine and you are the branches, you know you're a part of that plant, that vine, if you are living his Ten Commandments or living his commandments. You are living the life of the vine because you're living the life of grace. The life of Christ is what the life of grace is. You'll be able to live like Christ. You're able to speak like Christ. You're able to do like Christ because you are a part of the vine. And that's what the Holy Spirit always is there to be, that living fountain of water that he said he would give to the woman at the well. That whenever you need the grace, you have the Holy Spirit there ready to assist you. And this is what we will hope and pray, that when you receive confirmation that you allow him to work and to really sanctify you, to make you holy. What does it mean to be made holy? Well, it means to be conformed to God's will. You know, that sounds kind of stale, but to some people. What does it mean to be conformed to God's will? It means to desire all that God desires and to want what God wants. And that is not a bad thing, because that's really what we're made for. We're made, as the Catechism tells us, to know, love, and serve God in this world and be happy with him forever in the next. Doing God's will is going to be the thing that makes us happy. If you know very well that when you try to do something which you know is not pleasing to God, when you violate the Ten Commandments or something, it makes you very sad. And that's just part of the way things are in the realm of God's grace. If we want to be happy in life, we want to be always found doing God's will, because it's doing God's will that will make us happy. And that's why we also receive this outpouring at the Holy Spirit at confirmation, is to help us to know what is God's will. Each and every one of us has a mission. When God creates us and puts us into this world, when we come into existence, we all come with a mission to fulfill. He has a plan for our lives. We're not just thrown out here and left to do whatever we like. If we really want to be happy, we want to do what God has ordained for us, because he knows what is truly best for us, and he has a part to play for each and every one of us. And to the degree that we know what that plan is for us, then we will be truly happy, because we're fulfilling what God wants for us. And that's with the help of the Holy Spirit. So as you prepare for confirmation, I would encourage you to prepare like the early church prepared for that first Pentecost. For confirmation is your sharing in that experience of the first Pentecost. You might say that when the Holy Spirit came down on the church on that first Pentecost, they were confirmed. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is what's going to happen for you on the day that you're confirmed. You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You won't see flames of fire come down on you. If you do, you know, the church might have to call the fire department. But you're going to experience it by faith. By faith, you will know that when you receive the sacrament, you receive the same fullness of the Holy Spirit that came down on the apostles in that first Pentecost. And how did the apostles prepare for that first Pentecost? It tells us in the Acts of the Apostles that they were in the upper room in prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it said, St. Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict both said in their writings that that is the model of the church at prayer in every age. If we want to receive and to be able to live what the Holy Spirit wants to give us, we have to be in prayer with the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the mother of the church. She is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, as you prepare for confirmation, say extra prayers to Our Lady, asking her to help you to cooperate as she did, not to put any obstacles in the path of the Holy Spirit, but to truly be docile. Docile, what does that mean? Be kind of tame, you know, always ready and willing to follow the lead of another. God doesn't want us to be wild. He wants us to be docile. And it's only through Our Lady and her maternal mediation, her motherly care for us, that we will truly be ready to receive and to be open to all that the Holy Spirit wants to work in us. So if you can, I would encourage you to pray the rosary especially as you prepare for confirmation. Ask Our Lady through the mysteries of the rosary to help you to live the life of Jesus as she lived and followed him, and that you would be always open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. For really, that is he brings with him when he comes to you all that God wants to work in your life. He wants to make you holy. He wants to make you like himself. As our Lord reminds us, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. That is a great standard, a great goal that God has established, and we can't reach it without his help. So today, I don't know when your confirmation takes place, but the days that you have until that day takes place, pray especially to Our Lady to help you to be ready for that day and to be truly filled with faith, hope, and love, knowing that the Holy Spirit is coming to you in a special way, and that you do what you can to prepare yourself by coming to know more about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, how you know that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. You show forth the fruits, which is joy, chastity, purity, honesty, all the things that would make us like Christ. Those will be the fruits that are most important. And those are the kind of fruits that our Lord wants to see from us in the gospel when he says, "Remain with me and you will bear much fruit." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.